Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Adam Dubin. This week our learning is, of course, the Refuah Shlema Velvel Wolf Zev Ben Leah, Dr. Zev Zelenko. All of my learning, of course, is for the Zeichah Nishmas Rabbi Mori, Moshe David Ben Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac. If you're interested in sponsoring, please reach out to Shir Enjoyment at 917-626-8306 or visit shirenjoyment.com. I want to start off by wishing a mazel tov to Shir Enjoyment, Jake Wyman. He's the man behind the magic in many ways for making the Siyum this past week. So I just want to wish him a mazel tov personally for that. Hope everyone had a wonderful Yontif, wonderful Pesach, and certainly it was inspiring for me. Hope it was for you as well. This week, Parshas Achrimos. In many years, most years, when it's not a leap year, it's combined with Parshas Kedoshim as well. But this year, because it is an Uber Shana, a leap year, it's just Parshas Achrei by itself. I wanted to focus on the full Midrash, but the first Midrash on the first Pasuk in Parshas Achrimos. Pasuk says, "Vayedver Hashem Moshe Achrimos Shnei Bnei Aaron V'krav Sam Lifnei Hashem V'yemusu." So Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu after the death of Aaron the Kohen's two sons, which of course were Nadav and Avihu, when they approached before Hashem and they died. Now, just as context, you might remember a few weeks ago, Aaron's sons, Nadav and Avihu, had brought up what the Torah refers to as an Esh Zara, a strange fire, and we went through a few different understandings of what that meant, but specifically it was a reference to a korban that they were not instructed to bring, and there might have been some other issues with it as well. The first Rashi on the Pasuk, before we get into the Midrash, says, just to read it outside, that speaking of by the Bereshim Moshe Achrimos Shnei Bnei Aaron, that what the statement is intended to tell us is Rashi's question. That is, why is it stated when Hashem spoke to Moshe? So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah shows, illustrated by a parable, that be compared to the case of a sick person whom the physician, the doctor, visited. That he, the doctor, said to him, "Don't eat cold foods and don't lie down in a cold damp place." Then another physician came and visited and advised him, "Do not eat cold foods or lie down in a cold damp place, so that you will not die the way that so and so other person did." Certainly, the second put him on guard more than the first doctor. That is why the Torah states that after the death of the sons of Aaron, that if Hashem effectively said to Aaron HaKohen, "Don't enter the Kodesh Kodashim in a prohibited manner, so that you won't die the way that your sons did." That's Rashi based on the Sifra. Now we're going to go again look in the Midrash Rabbah, and again we're not going to make it through the entire Midrash, but the Midrash starts by citing a few different examples, expositions of the Pasuk from Sefer Koheles, Mishle, well, I believe, that relate specifically to our Pasuk. Anyway, the Midrash says, Rabbi Shimon Pasuk, Rabbi Shimon began, HaKol Kasher L'Kol Mikra Echad L'Tadek L'Rasha, that Rabbi Shimon and Koheles Rabbah opened his discourse in our passage with the exposition from Perek Tes Pasuk Beis in Koheles, that says, "All things come alike to all, the same fate awaits the righteous and the wicked." And then the Midrash continues, "L'tzadik zeh noyach, shenemar, bo ish tzadik." A tzadik, this refers to Noach, who the Torah says was an ish tzadik, he was a righteous person. We see that in the very beginning of Parshas Noyach, which in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Vav Pasuk Tes. Midrash continues, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Rabbi Yechanan, said the name of Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Noich, Keshiyatza min HaTeva, Hikisho Ha'ari Ushvaro Zoloi Haya Kasher L'Hakri." Noich exited the Teva, the lion struck him and broke him, that is, broke his leg. It appears from the Midrash further that appears that Noich's injuries were more extensive than just the broken leg, but at least he broke his leg. And according to the Midrash Tanchuma, the lion struck Noach while they were still in the Teva because Noach delayed in feeding him. Anyway, the lion struck Noach and broke his leg. As a result, he was not fit to bring a korban. See the Mishnah and Maseches Bechoros, the applicability of the qualification of Noach and therefore his descendants, to understand that more fully. The Perek Vav and Mishnah Ches, and I think also Perek Zayin Mishnah Aleph and Mishnah in Bechoros. Back in the Midrash, the Hikri Shem Bino Tachtav, and so therefore Shem, his son, brought the offering in place of Noach. So of Noach's children, it was Shem who was the logical candidate to bring Korbanos in Noach's place, for it was Shem that Noach would then bless that Hashem would dwell in his tent. We see this in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Tes, Pasuk Chaf Zayim, and it's indeed It was Shem who served as the Kohen to the generations that arose after the Mabul. So an obvious difficulty with the Midrash is that in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Ches Pasuk Chaf, it states that Melech brought Karbonos after he exited the Teva. The Anaf Yosef says in the Chumah that in fact it was Shem who brought the Korban, and that the Torah just credits Noach for doing so because it was Noach who had in effect begun the mitzvah, having brought seven pairs of kosher animals into the Teva, not just one pair, as he did for the non-kosher animals, so that he would be able to bring them as karbonos when they would leave the Teva. Back in the Midrash, says, L'rasha ze paro nechel. And the wicked, this refers to paro nechel. So paro, called paro nechel by our Midrash, was the king of Mitzrayim, and Shlomo HaMelech married his daughter. See that in Sefer Malachim Aleph, Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph. Midrash says, continues, Kevan Shebikesh Leshev Al Kisei Shel Shlomo Lo Haya Yodeya Mangin Shelo Ikishu Ale Ushvaru. So when Paro Necho sought to sit on Melech's throne, he didn't know how it worked, and a lion struck him and injured him, or broke him. So when Shlomo Melech passed away, Paro took Shlomo Melech's throne as a payment for his daughter's ksuba, according to the Ber Maharif, the Eis Yosef, and also in the Esther Rabbah. Alternatively, the Medrash is not speaking about that Paro, but rather another king who was Paro Necho, who went to war against King Hoshea, the Malachim Beis, Perek of Gimel, and took the throne from him. The throne was returned to the Yisrael after having been taken from Shlomo HaMelech previously. And so, just to think about, you know, what's so special about Shlomo HaMelech's throne, that the Paro Necho didn't know how to operate it, didn't know how it worked. The Shlomo HaMelech's throne had six steps, with two lions at each step. The Malachim Aleph Perek Yud. As Shlomo HaMelech came to each step, the lion would stretch out its paw to help pour his ascent, his way up. So it could be noted that in the sources here, I'm mentioning that how we know this. We see this on Midrash Ava Gurion, Yalkut Shemoyni, on Megillat Esther, as well as Esther Rabba, speak of other animals being on the throne as well. And the Targum Sheni on Megillat Esther says that the animals were made out of gold. Yifa'anaf to Esther Rabba writes that the lion and the other animals were mechanical, operating through a system of weight of the sort used like in clock. And so therefore, in our Midrash, the term Mangnoin refers to a mechanical contrivance that we just cited here. Okay, so back in the Midrash, Zeh Meis Soleya V'Zeh Meis Soleya. So there emerges that this one, the righteous one, Noach, died limping, and this one, the evil one, Paro, died limping as well. The root of Necho means lame, and Paro was called, again, Paro Necho, after being named by the lion. Hainu Dichsiv Mikra Echel Tzadik L'Rasha, and this is what's written, the same fate awaits the Tzadik as the Rasha. Going a little bit further, L'tov l'tahor l'tamei. The good, the clean, and the tamei. Again, I hate to use the word tahor and tamei, meaning pure and impure, but really tahor and tamei. L'tov ze Moshe shenemar v'teira oso kitovu. That's the good, the tov. This is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, as it says, Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis of Sefer Shmos, says that Moshe saw that he was good. Or she saw, rather, Yocheved saw that Moshe was good. The pasuk there is describing Moshe Rabbeinu's birth. Rabbi Meir Aymer, Shinulav Mahu, Rabbi Meir says that the infant Moshe Rabbeinu was called Toiv, was good because he was a Nulav Mahu. He was born as if he already had a Mila. The purpose of the Bris Mila is the perfection of one's character. That is, that it teaches that man is born imperfect and he therefore must work on himself throughout his life to perfect himself. This is Sefer Achinuch for more there. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was born as a Nulav Mahu indicated that he was born with excellent characteristics. The Midrash continues, "V'latahor ze'arain shahaya osik v'taratzen shel Yisrael." And the tahor, the queen, if you will, this refers to Arna Klein, who was involved in the purification, the tahor process of Bnei Yisrael. And in his role as the Kohen Gadol, Aaron was matahor Bnei Yisrael from their averas through the karbonos that he brought on Yom Kippur. Additionally, he was matahor from the tumas meis brought through the me'efer para aduma, which will Mr. Hashem cover when we get to the Parsha's Chukas, some more there, and from the Tumas Teras, which we spoke about a few weeks ago, through the Tara process mentioned in various places in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yud Dalet, and the Midrash goes on to quote from Sefer Malachi, He turns away from iniquity, from Averas, through his words of rebuke. As to how this indicates that on himself was Tahor, the explanation is that one who is Metahar others is therefore rendered Tahor himself, says the Divrei Shai Chaim. Midrash continues, Shemem Rabbi Shalom u'mishur haloch itoy rabin sheshiv me'alim. As it says, he walked with me in peace and with fairness and turned away from iniquity, as we just cited from Malachi. Although the Pasuk is speaking about Shevet Levi as a whole, the Midrash takes on the description of Arnakayim, which Pirkei Avos, first Perek Pirkei Avos, which describes Arnakayim as being a Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, men who peace, men of peace, who brought the Bnei Yisrael Jews closer to each other, closer to Torah as well. And the Pasuk continues, and the Tameh, these were the Miraglim, these were the spies, the 10 spies that spoke negatively about Eretz Yisrael and said that the Bnei Yisrael should not conquer Eretz Yisrael at the time. See that more in Parsha Shlach. They are referred to as Tameh because those who speak Lashon Hara are said to have unclean lips, if you will. See the Mount of Kahuna and the Eitz Yosef and the Maharetz over there. Elu Amru Shevicha Shel Eretz Yisrael Ve'elu Amru Ganai. These men, the Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron Cohen, spoke words of praise regarding Eretz Yisrael, and yet the Meraglim spoke words of Ganai, deprecation. Elu Lo Nichmasu Ve'elu Nichmasu. Nevertheless, these, reference to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron Cohen, did not enter Eretz Yisrael, and neither did these. The Meraglim didn't either. The Meraglim were killed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron Cohen were also not allowed to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Hainu Dichsiv V'Toyv L'Tamer L'Tamer. This is what's written, that the good and the Toyv and the Tamer L'Tamer, the clean and the unclean, if you will, that they all share the same fate. Now, while the Pasuk, again coming from Koheles, that we're referring to in our Pasuk here, simply states that the unspecified tzaddikim and rishayim may suffer similar fate, the Midrash's example indicates that this cannot be taken at face value. Surely no one would entertain the notion that Noach, the only tzaddik in his generation, suffered the same fate as the wicked Paranecho, or that the fates of Moshe Rabbeinu and Arakain were equated to in any way, shape, or form that with the Meraglim. Rather, the point is, explains Rabbeinu Pavarsky in the Bach Kodesh, that on our Pasuk, that Hashem holds the Tzaddikim to a far higher standard than he does the Rishayim. In our eyes, there is no comparison between the Avera of Moshe or Aaron and an Avera whose wrong we struggle to perceive, and the grave Averas of the 10 Meraglim. But in the exacting scale of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's justice, even a slight wrong of one who is good and Tahor weighs as heavily as the crime of one who is Tameh. Those scales are calibrated according to the level of those whose deeds they weigh. In a similar way, Chazal teaches the Gemara Masechah Shabbos Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis that anyone who takes literally the Pasuk statement that Reuven had laid in the lay with Bilhah is sorely mistaken. It means only that he moved his father's bed from the tent of Bilhah to the tent of his mother Leah. Nevertheless, Reuven's interference in the marital life of his father is deemed on Reuven's lofty level as if he had laid, in fact, with Bilhah. And the Pasuk describes Reuven's act in terms that accentuate this exacting standard. The gravity of an Avera is viewed in the context of the person who commits the Avera. And only in that sense does our Pasuk that we've been referencing in Koheles mean the same fate befall all of us, whether we are tzaddikim or rishayim. So there's a lot that we can learn from every Midrash, and think a lot here in this Midrash on our Pasuk, the very beginning of Achrimos. We didn't get into it from where we got up to, but to understand that Nadav and Avihu were judged for whatever exactly their Avera was with the Esh Zara, that they were judged that they needed to be no longer alive. I hate to say killed, but their neshamas flew out from their no longer alive. And so there's an idea that Nadav and Avihu tried to get too close to Hashem, and it was a positive thing that they were trying to do that led to their neshamas couldn't fit in their body anymore. They had to fly away. Of course, the Pashat Pshat seems to be that they did something that was wrong, that was negative, that of course led to their untimely death, passing away without having any children at young ages. We don't, as Chazal teach us in many places, Farshim explain. So in our Parsha, we see that Hashem spoke to Moshe after the Petira of Nadav and Avihu, Aaron's sons, as we started out saying that we understand the gravity of the situation more depending on how it's presented to us, as Rashi says, that we began. But looking at the Midrash, we can also understand that it's not just how it's presented to us, but who we are, that we are being judged in any particular way, shape, or form by Hashem. We don't know the value of a specific mitzvah or the value of a specific avera, but we can understand, based off of what we learned in the Midrash, that we are judged on our own, based off of who we are, whether the avera that we commit is, Rachmana Son commit, is really bad and judged in one direction, that somebody else it might not be so bad, or if we're not at that level. But we strive to be at that level. We want to be judged in as harsh a way possible, as strange as it sounds to say out loud. We want to be judged in a harsh manner because it means that we're that much closer to Hashem. It's that much harder for us to commit the avera, the real avera. We want to be close to Hashem. We want to do the right thing. And so now we're in the period of Siras Ha'omer, and it reminds me that Siras Ha'omer is a mourning period. And of course, we know the reason why, that the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva had ended up, they were not good to each other, and so they were punished with the plague. Now, what that means, they weren't good to each other also. They were on a very high level. They were tzaddikim, but they committed an avera where on their level they were judged that they were not good enough to each other, but they're tzaddikim. How do we reconcile this? Again, we see as well in our pasuk that we're understanding that Moshe and Aaron were judged on such a high level, they weren't allowed to enter into Eretz Yisrael. They suffered the same fate, so to speak, as the Meraglim, who weren't allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. I think that a message we can learn from all this is that we don't know where anyone else is holding in his or her life. We are not equipped to judge other people. It says in Pirkei Avos that you should run away from judgment, run away from judging other people. Because who is the only judge that really can is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You don't know what someone else's life is like, even if you walk a mile in their shoes. You don't know what other people are going through, just as they don't know what you're going through. That's thinking of it negatively, but again, positives as well. You don't know how somebody else is judged for their positive things that they do, just as they don't know how you're judged for the things that you do positively. So it's very important. It's a lesson, I think, for all of us to keep in mind, to always be danachav schus, always think positively, because we think of each other positively, look at each other in a positive light, because we don't know any other way to look at other people. We should always be positive, because we know we're not perfect, and we can't expect anyone else to be either. We do our best. We encourage others to do their best, but never look down on anybody else. It's a powerful lesson that I think we learned from the very beginning of our Parsha this week. With this in mind, I wish everyone a good Shabbos and Zayge Ben Kol Tuv.